Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 75, and I am Libby, your host. And I'd also like to welcome our new listeners from The Point Radio. Woo-hoo. This is our premiere. And welcome back to our returning guests.
Peter from L.A.
Tom from Glendale.
Marcia from Encino.
And Allison Skyping in from the wilds of Tarzana.
Because Tarzana is so wild. Oh. Nice. Let's start off with pieces of the news. First up, and the most controversial thing, is that Eureka has been canceled after season 5 with little or no notice. So
after they claimed they were going to pick it up for 6 episodes, season 6.
That is very correct. And it's the fan girls, boys, whatever, all up in arms. And people are quite upset, me included. Because, I mean, this season has been creatively the best season.
And I've heard season 5 is even better.
Yeah, I have too.
It has been. And the ratings are wonderful. So, of course, let's kill the show that has the best ratings or the next to best ratings on our network. Because it's not wrestling.
From decoding what they've said in press releases or what they've released, it's because it's an expensive show to shoot. And, you know, heaven forbid.
They shoot it in Vancouver.
No, it's still an expensive show, evidently.
No, it's expensive to Comcast. It wasn't expensive before. And they've actually cut their budget. But it's expensive too. And this is exactly what everyone was worried about when Comcast bought NBC Universal, was that they were going to go in and start slicing budgets and cutting off shows, looking solely at the bottom line for today.
And then I think they came back after the uproar and said they're going to give us a one-episode wrap-up.
Ooh.
So it's like the show's been on for 5 seasons and you get one episode to wrap everything up. Thank you.
It could be a one episode if it went for like 10 hours.
Or 6 hours.
I could stand an episode like that. That would be fine for me.
The other piece of, I have some renewals and cancellations. They came fast and furious this week. First thing I have is Leverage got renewed for season 5.
Yay!
In Plain Sight and Suits both got renewed, but In Plain Sight, they say it's the last season. But that's actually, I think that might be good, because this season with her having the baby was really weird. It was,
Did she have a baby in real life?
Yes, she did. And I understand that she got pregnant, but the thing is, she's the focus of the show. She's the action hero. She's the one with the gun running in, diving, but she's like 6 to 8 months pregnant, and that doesn't really work. And so they put her on desk duty for almost the entire season.
Well, that's like Alias when Jennifer Garner got pregnant, then the show really just went down the tubes.
Yeah, and it's just, in this one, it's just like, it felt weird, and it doesn't feel like the show right now.
I think it's because they didn't write it. Because there's no reason why you can't show a woman pregnant in this field. What happened is that they didn't want to write her as somebody like that. And it's
Well, actually they did. She was very reluctant to leave the field. Like, when she was 3-4 months pregnant, they couldn't get her out of the field. It was only when she physically couldn't get out of the car that she was like, all right, fine, I can't go in the field. But before that, she was pretty much diving into stuff, still doing what she was doing, and she hated the fact that they made her sit out. And I thought they did that really well, but she still has to sit out. And then they tried to make everything about the baby. They tried to make it like all her decisions were based on now that she's going to be a new mother. And I was like, are you kidding me? So that just felt out of character and not her.
That's why I think that they wrote it wrong. They didn't write it as they should have about a next step of life and yet still being a career woman. And that's because they're not used to it.
They're guys. But anyway, let's move on to the, going with the news. I said Suits got renewed, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Which is, woohoo, very happy. That's the best new summer show ever.
Yep.
So the other piece is that Warehouse 13 also got picked up.
Meh.
And I was waiting. There's no cheers. All right. So
it's
like the last thing is that True Blood also got renewed for season 5.
Damn right.
That was a surprise.
No brainer.
Yeah,
I was going for as long as they can. I mean,
I'm not arguing that. And this season has been a very good season.
Yeah, so far better.
We can't see your physical movements here.
I'm making a sine wave with my hand, which is similar to a roller coaster.
We'll talk that when we get to
The first show we're going to talk about is True Blood. Go for it.
One of the better episodes of the season.
Thank you. So we're at the top of the roller coaster.
Yes, we're at the top of the
roller coaster. No, not the best, but one of the better. One of the better. Yeah, yeah. Now I wouldn't say the best this season, but
right.
I think this season, I would agree with Libby, has been overall... Tom's right. True Blood's always kind of an up-and-down show. That's true.
Right.
Like, there's always going to be episodes where you're like, ah, that wasn't that good. But I think the tension and the mystery this season, at least for me personally, I've been more intrigued than I have in past few seasons. That's all.
I think
my first season is still my favorite.
Yeah.
But I think this season, I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with the baby. I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
I hate the baby.
Oh, I kind of like the baby.
I love the baby part. Especially with that creepy doll from hell.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not the doll. It's the black chick.
Well, the black chick may have been... It might be her doll.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Because
I think
she
was her doll. I think the doll's connected to it.
But it's interesting that Lafayette also sees her, not just the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees Lafayette and it's like, you can see me? You see that on her face, the shock on her face.
Right.
It's nice when a ghost is shocked.
Yes. That was all pretty good.
Yeah, but I think that whole storyline is great. I love that. I'm really interested in that. I think that there are elements of this season that are really working and that are really great. And then there are other elements that I am totally not interested in. I hope that we've seen the last of the whole Tommy Minkins.
Yeah.
Oh,
I hate that character.
I'm so not into that. And I really, really hope that the whole Were-Panther thing is way behind us.
The less said about that, the better.
The only thing I have to say about the Were-Panther thing is he does get turned into a Were-Panther
in
the book.
In the book, I understand.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure if we're done with that. That's all.
It just didn't do it for me at all with, you know, the way they handled it in the show.
Okay.
And, you know...
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. The way they did it in the show was
horrible.
Yeah.
But we always have to remember, we've been warned. It will not be like the book. It will not be like the book.
Yeah.
That's why Bill's still around.
True, but because it's not like the book, isn't Jessica only the show?
Yes.
And I really like Jessica.
I adore Jessica, and that's why the ending, the way they, the last shot is freaking me out.
Yeah, the ending, because I just saw Game of Thrones, I'm like, HBO's not afraid to kill characters off.
I have a feeling that Jason is going to get there just in time.
But I think she's going to still be burned. Because pretty much once the light hits you, you're still pretty much messed up.
Yeah, but she's a vampire.
That doesn't mean she won't die.
She'll be okay if she goes underground.
But it still takes a while to recover, right?
Yeah, not long. Like a day.
No, because I remember there's that one where Bill is in the sun. Is it season two?
Yeah.
That took a while.
Actually, season one. The end of
season
one.
Oh,
that
was season
one.
It's not like she's better the next day.
No, but still.
However,
I don't care if she's hurt. I just don't want her dead.
I know. I agree. I don't want her. And that was a really cool scene when, like, basically, the whole thing is that the witches, which, man, was it you last week? I really think Fiona Shaw has been great.
Yes.
Because you see how timid she is, and now I'm like, whoa.
I did not recognize her from Harry Potter.
She's
terrific.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's terrific.
But seeing how powerful she is, I was like, oh, she's a pretty good villain. And seeing the scene where Jessica is trying to leave the prison, the cage,
mm-hmm.
and then he's like, Bill's like, as your, you know,
yeah,
can't
maker.
You, let me go to, like, oh no, that was good,
that was great, totally into it.
Yeah,
I dug last week's episode. The baby doesn't interest me because I don't think Arlene's that good of an actress.
It's been the same.
Oh, I don't want you to be evil like your daddy. It's like, oh my gosh.
I'll tell you, it's one of the few things that's similar to the book. In the book, you just want to smack her, beat her to a pulp, and then bury her alive underground.
Wow.
Okay, because she's a horrible, evil person who actually deals with Church of the Sun and goes and kills vampires. So she's being nice. But she is supposed to be a very, very Appalachian kind of person. She's supposed to be that way.
It's Bon Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's one of the worst.
Does she still have the same husband in the book?
Yeah.
No.
So she doesn't marry Terry in the book?
No. Because Terry is more mentally troubled in the books. Like, he starts
PTSD.
Yeah, it's like in the he starts off like kind of crazy, but then he gets better, and her being with her makes him better and everything. In the books, he's just troubled through the whole thing.
Oh, I see.
Speaking of hookups, I can't believe who's the sheriff who's at least leave the flowers, you know, like he tries to do this date and he can't do it with her, then he leaves, takes the flowers, I'm like, what are you doing, man? At least, like,
he's become very uninteresting.
I agree,
but in the books he is really stupid, and he's an alcoholic, and there's a lot of issues, So they're trying to keep a little bit of him in there.
Yeah, and, but he's not that interesting, though.
He's not. They're trying. You know what they're trying to do?
I like the
do?
Actor, but
they're
I
trying
agree.
To keep everybody busy. A little of this, a little of that, and
but they need
it's
to find interesting ways to
yes.
keep them busy.
Yes,
absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think they're that successful at keeping all the balls in the air.
No, I don't think they've ever been. So.
All right, let's wrap up True Blood. I think the overall consensus is thumbs up.
So good,
thumbs
yeah,
up.
Good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All
right.
Am I the last person that stayed to Falling Skies
I'm
in the end?
I'm watching too.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we had our 2-hour finale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Note to TNT, do not call 2 episodes shown back-to-back a 2-hour finale.
That is true.
Because it's 2 hours back-to-back, and it's so incoherent. Episode 1 was a waste of time. Literally, because...
They had a faux mutiny.
Well, we have a faux mutiny, and we're told that, yeah, I'm not drinking anymore at the end of it. Which is like, okay, so the whole thing was it was just an hour of filler, false stakes. I wanted to throw something at my TV, except
that's
for
true,
was,
because
except
he could
have my TV.
Well, I mean, he could have avoided the whole thing and just been like, yeah, stop taking the pills.
Yeah.
That's easy.
End of, it's like, come on, you couldn't think of anything better to do.
That's true. I would
have focused more on the kid attacking the older
Oh,
guy.
That was really
that
good.
That was cool.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
the clinging to the ceiling.
Well, and the fact that we now know that these children are physically and biologically changing into
yep.
look like Skitters, basically, because the kid couldn't hang to the wall before, and Skitters can do that.
Yep.
So he's obviously the children are changing into
Skitters.
Some kind of basically into Skitters. And the one kid wants the change to finish because he feels like he'll be part of the family.
Well, although after he betrays them.
Right.
And they won't take him back.
Well, that's the thing. Why won't they take him back? I would think that
well,
they
because
would...
they're done with him. They used
him
to the end of his usefulness, and that's really all that they cared about. That's
well, I didn't understand why they used to stick another harness on
him. And that's when he fessed up.
Right. Right, but that was
although
really
that scene was just so ridiculous. I mean, it's the whole way they played the thing and directed it was terrible.
You mean with the girl in the woods?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then him just getting suddenly weepy after showing absolutely no emotion toward anything up to then.
That's true. He'd
yeah.
been super
just
stoic.
So poorly done and so poorly acted and directed.
But I love...
And I actually got a chance to see that kid in something else. He was in an encore production of Moby Dick recently, and I was astonished that he actually can act. Because you have no evidence of that throughout this entire series. And I
really,
thought, wow, you give him some good direction, he actually can turn in a performance.
And a good script.
Right,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
No, there was that one moment, though, where he makes his... He goes back to Noah Wiley, and Noah Wiley's like, what did you tell them? And then he says... everything.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a great moment.
Well, and then he was like, and I told him all about you, and I was like, oh, what does that mean? You know, and
boom, boom, boom.
I thought that I was kind of bored through the first hour, I agree, but it ended well. Like, it ended with,
but
okay,
was,
we're going into battle.
But it was so abrupt. That could have been tagged on to anything. You have this great victory. It reminded me of a classic Galactica episode as well as a new Galactica episode called both entitled Hand of God, where they mount this final last-ditch effort against the opposing forces,
mm-hmm.
and they win, and then we tag on this, oh, we gotta have a cliffhanger to bring you back next year because we're coming back. It was just like, they want to talk to you.
well, are you talking about the second part?
I'm talking about the
yeah,
conclusion
they,
of the whole thing.
Oh, the conclusion
right.
of the
it
whole...
It just felt so tagged on.
Oh, because I wasn't even talking about that. I meant the end of the first part, which was they're going into battle. But
yeah.
the end of the second part was, okay, he makes this impossible shot
of course.
With his grenade launcher.
Of course.
That was insanity. So, okay, so he makes the impossible shot. This school teacher, who's never picked up a bazooka in his life...
But he's read about it in history books.
Right. And so he makes this crazy shot, blows up half their mothership, and then they decide that he is the center of the resistance. That he is the poster boy, and if they can convince him, then they can stop resistance on the entire planet. I was like, really? This guy? But
aliens in movies tend not to be too smart.
Well, I just and then
conveniently
they were,
so. Yeah.
And then they were very surprised that the humans were still fighting. Like I was like, seriously, what other planets have you conquered? You know, so
Uranus.
So I just like I know that the finale is supposed to bring us back to next season, but. I don't know how I feel about this. The wrap-up didn't make me go, oh my god, I can't wait to see what's next. I kind of was like, nah.
That's over.
Yeah.
What else?
And And the only reason I'm probably going to come back is because we said last week that they got Battlestar Galactica writers.
That's the only hope that I have for this becoming anything more than as dull as dishwater.
I agree.
Because this whole season was such a waste of my time. That is the only thing I'm hoping, the only thing that I'm holding on to is that maybe, possibly, they'll bring some quality to this effort.
I'm with you on that.
Is it possible, because this one got renewed really fast.
Well, because of Spielberg. It's got the Spielberg name attached.
No, not just that. Is it possible that the reason we're looking at the world of sci-fi fantasy wrong is that we're looking for quality while the rest of the world just wants, ooh, it's pretty spaceships and
stuff
aliens.
Blowing up?
Maybe that's our problem. It's that we're looking for a good script, and the rest of the world is looking for, ooh, pretty.
I would agree with you, except that this show doesn't really have that. I mean, they are not spending... There are no space battles. There are very few spaceships at all in the show. We see a couple of mechs and a couple of skitters, but actually, in any given episode... I'd say you see them every other episode. So it's not a lot of what you're saying.
Then who does TNT think is watching the show that they've renewed it?
Well, it's got ratings.
It's got decent ratings.
Who's watching?
Does it really? I mean, do you know what the numbers are on this thing? Because I wasn't aware that it was getting huge ratings.
It's not getting huge ratings. It's
getting decent ratings.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, I didn't think that it was getting ratings that would make people go, ooh, we have to have a second season of this.
Here's something I want to tag off of what Marcia said. Spielberg shows tend to get the benefit of the doubt, but if you look at his track record of television, going back to Amazing Stories, except for the stuff he does with Tom Hanks, he generally doesn't do good TV.
Mm-hmm.
Except the Tom Hanks miniseries,
oh,
the Band of Brothers, and the
Pacific. I was kind of going, what TV shows is he doing with Tom Hanks? Okay,
the HBO stuff.
I was thinking of Tom Hanks being in it. That's why I was confused for a second.
But otherwise, his shows tend not to. Come on, Sequest?
Yeah!
And Earth 2, which was the superior of those two shows.
I was
going to
say, that was pretty good.
Earth 2 got canceled. Sequest got a truncated season 3.
Which is why I'm saying if this didn't have the Spielberg name attached to
it,
I don't think it would be getting a second season.
Yeah, I agree.
It would be long gone.
All right, let's move on to Eureka.
Speaking of sci-fi.
Speaking of canceled, even though it has good ratings.
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry, the horse might be dead, but I'll beat that little...
Before we get to the actual show, let me just say that Eureka is an aberration on sci-fi. It's a smart, well-written, well-produced, well-acted show. Unlike everything else on sci-fi.
Right now.
Right now. They don't have that.
They've canceled all the other ones.
Yeah, they've canceled all of them.
That trifecta. And the fact that they pulled this, there was actually an article in one of the trades about this last week, shows that sci-fi is struggling for its identity, probably because of their new overseers, Comcast, NBC Universal.
That's why they changed their name.
Siffy.
Well, they changed the name to Siffy because they wanted to be able to copyright things and trademark things because they could sell
stuff.
Which
never
bothered USA Network.
No, never did.
Well, anyway, let's talk about the episode now. This one was...
It was Die Hard.
It was
with
a daughter...
Zoe and Joe.
Zoe legitimately had an attitude about the fact that Joe stole her boyfriend, which was considering the fact that they've been like best friends, aunt and niece for so long.
Yeah, but
that's kind of...
I always thought Zoe and Zane together was creepy.
It was creepy. I'm with you. But looking at it from Zoe's perspective, I can understand why she was upset.
Remembering that this is an alternate universe.
Right.
And a bunch of stuff happened here that even Dad went, huh?
Right. And so... I was creeped out by Zoe and Zane being together. I thought I thought that Carter should beat the crap out of Zane for touching his daughter.
I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
The first episode.
Yeah.
And
so
really it was only one episode.
Yeah.
Right, but that was to let us know that had been going on for a while.
Right.
So I also like the fact that she finally was like, look, I guess I have to explain this to you. And like at the end of the episode, she actually explains the whole alternate universe to her.
No, she starts to hint and then
Jack takes her off. I knew somebody explained it to her. So she actually does get the explanation. So that's actually pretty good. But for the episode itself, what was great is basically everyone gets... Oh, they actually culminate the whole...
Allison being
controlled. Because I was afraid this was going to go the whole season.
I'm glad it did.
I still think she's controlled.
I don't think...
No,
I think
not.
That, no,
she's
they,
got a, she's got a little residue. I'm sorry. I looked at that face, that expression. There's a little residue
I don't think so. But anyway, I like the fact that they finally, like, you find out why they hacked into her and why they're controlling her and what's the whole goal. And then they just knock everybody. Like, once they get discovered, she's like, okay, plan A's out the window. Plan B. And everyone gets whoosh. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Sally Richardson Whitfield directed this episode, too, by the way.
Yes, I saw that.
And I thought she nailed it.
Yeah, that would explain why they kept switching to the other actress so that she could be directing. But I actually thought that the camera angles, the way they did, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you're looking at her, you look at her and she's Allison that you're used to seeing, and then the camera pans and it goes past a bush or whatever, and then all of a sudden she's the other woman, or Beverly, and that was pretty cool. And I liked that Zoe figured out it was Beverly just talking to her on the phone. She's like, oh, you sound like my high school counselor or whatever.
You sound like my old shrink.
My old shrink.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That was pretty good.
This is a stretch.
What's your kid's birthday?
Yeah.
This
it's
is
like,
a stretch.
What's your zodiac sign?
The script kind of reminded me of the episode of the musical episode of Xena, where Xena and Gabrielle have been fighting because of stuff that's been going on, and then they're thrust into this alternate reality where they have to work together to solve the problem. Just in terms of,
I have no point of reference.
The episode is called The Bittersweet. It's the musical episode of Xena. But just in terms of, you've got two of the female leads at odds, having to work together.
Oh,
to
right,
solve
Zoe
a problem.
And Joe. Right, right, right. Okay, I can see what you mean. Because they were fighting and yelling and not speaking to each other, and then they have this crisis, and then they have to work together. Though that was great. There was that moment when Joe is locked up in the cell, and she almost does it. And I was like, this is Buffy. Because remember Buffy with Willow and Cordelia, when they had both slept with Xander, and she's like, now that I have you in one place, I think I'll talk to you about that.
Doppelganger.
Yes, and that was pretty much the same scene. And I was like, oh, that's great.
So what I liked
love
about
her practical realization when she's sitting in there going, I should have put a bathroom in here.
Yes. Because that's what I always think is, people are tied up for a day, for half a day, and the thought in my mind is, how do they pee?
Where they're sitting.
Yeah.
But there's never a wet spot.
All right. Let's wrap up Eureka. I think it was thumbs up.
Thumbs up
and like evil sci-fi.
Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13. I haven't been talking about this show pretty much at all. But Allison requested to talk about it, and I did watch... Allison, explain why you wanted to talk about it, and then I'll say what.
Okay, it's not because I'm such an ardent fan of Warehouse 13, it's because they have been talking about doing a spinoff of the series, starring their H.G. Wells character, and it's going to be featuring Warehouse 12, which was part of Victorian London, and they're doing kind of a Sherlock Holmes steampunk kind of idea behind it. And they brought in as their Dr. Watson counterpart, Gareth David Lloyd of Torchwood fame.
Right.
And so I thought, well, that's worth tuning in for at the very least. So they did the episode, and it was, your typical Warehouse 13. It really wasn't particularly outstanding for any reason. But the bits that they did in Victorian times were kind of cute. If you ignore the fact that they have to really retcon the entire H.G. Wells character and forget that she was villainous and all of that, and try to make her all, more nice and more optimistic than her character ever really was, then it's kind of a cute premise, and they played it kind of sweet. They didn't, unfortunately, give Gareth David Lloyd that much to do, but he was kind of cute and sweet and innocent in the confines of the character that they gave him to play.
And
he got to do martial arts.
That's true. He kicked a lot of butt. I only watched the bits with him in it. I recorded the episode and fast-forwarded through the whole thing, so I actually can't comment on the Warehouse 13 aspect at all. But I did watch the parts to see if I would be interested in a spinoff, and the answer is yes. And though I thought that it was funny because Gareth Lloyd Davies was in a Sherlock Holmes remake, like right after he did Torchwood, and he played Watson. And so then I was like, oh, he's playing Watson again. All right. So, and I thought he did fine. And I mean, considering if you put all that together, it was maybe 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. The whole thing is they're trying to sell her, not necessarily
yes.
him. And you want to see the chemistry between the characters and see, oh, I'd like to see those two people work together. And I think they accomplished that. And they got to show that he could fight. and all that, and that was fine. And so for what it was, if they did a spinoff, I would actually watch that spinoff.
And they don't have to retcon her too much because the backstory is she goes bad. And they referred to that even in the warehouse, in the middle segments with the boring 50s, 60s American agents. They said, why is it that every warehouse agent either dies, goes bad, or goes crazy?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but you know that at a certain point, you know, this is what you have to look forward to. You know, at a certain point, her character starts going down.
But I actually don't think that's necessarily negative.
I think that's great. You have an exit strategy for the show. You have something to build toward.
And also, if I recall correctly, the Doctor in Doctor Who is supposed to go evil on his 13th regeneration as well. So, you know.
Yeah, but then you don't know how long a stretch you have to go. Where this is concerned, where they came in on this character, they had already gotten rid of her daughter, which is supposed to be the thing that sends her over the edge.
Oh, okay.
And so you don't have a whole lot of time unless they decide to go back even further when they start this.
Or they could be like, oh,
that's
that was even
time travel show.
Right, you can do whatever you want, but I think I'll be, if they do it, I think I'd be fine, mainly because I don't know all that information. So
I don't think they'll do
it. You
know,
also we're looking at something which could potentially cost a lot of money to do, because you're talking about steampunk with a lot of special effects, and also it's supposed to be set in Victorian London, and as it was, just for the 15 minutes they had some really dodgy accents going on.
And also, I was...
How do you do, governor?
And they had some really dodgy mustaches. I was like, why is everyone wearing a fake mustache? Like, it was so awful. But anyway,
it was just the women.
Yeah. Let's wrap that up. Let's move on to the finale of White Collar.
Ooh.
This was really... I have to say, the White Collar has been doing a really good job this season.
Best season ever, so far.
They've had a really good arc, which was... You've got this stolen artwork that... not Peter.
Mazi.
No, actually, I was thinking of Neil. I was like, for some reason, blanked on Neil's name. So Neil basically didn't actually steal the art, but Peter immediately thinks that he did, right?
Or knows who did.
Well, yes, but...
If you go back to that...
Yeah, he said, or you know who did. And at the time, neither was true. He didn't... At the time of that argument...
That is
correct. He did not steal the art, and he didn't know who did it.
But...
But now...
Moments later.
Yes. It was like the next day or whatever, he found all that out, and he didn't tell Peter. But they had already had this big freaking fight about it, so of course he's not going to want to be like, oh, and by the way, I totally know what it is now, because now Peter's not going to believe him. You know, so... And I think his feelings were hurt that Peter accused him so quickly. You know, but... Well, I think it's unfair. But this season has been all about Mazi and Neil are working against Peter to outsmart him for their exit strategy to steal, like, I can't remember how many, some ridiculous millions of dollars of art. And they've been doing a really good job of it, but you always feel that Peter's just like one step behind him, and Peter's just right there and he's going to catch him. But I actually think, like, the way they did it, to where Neil basically has to choose. They basically are putting... They let Neil outsmart Peter. So it's not about Peter outsmarting him. It has to be... Neil has to stay or leave on his own decision.
I don't know if I'd say that Neil outsmarts Peter. Because there are ramifications, especially by episodes in.
That's true. But I think at the very end, he does kind of get away with it.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, that's true. Because... Oh,
no,
that's true.
He does
yes,
not
because,
at all.
You're right. Because... what's his name? The villain guy.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the actor, but the character's great.
Yeah, yeah. And, man, kidnapping the wife, that's uncool. That was really
uncool.
Kidnapped
Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Yes.
Oh.
She's not the Amber, it's just Thiessen.
Yeah.
Wait, what is she name?
She dropped the Amber.
So she's Tiffany Thiessen?
Yes.
They kidnapped her?
Yes. It's very, very bad. And it's like, it was great. It's like, Peter's like in this one, he walks into his apartment, he's in this weird fog thing where you can't... You know how they do the camera thing? It's, everything's all out of focus,
right.
And he's kind of out of it.
The sound.
Yeah, and he's like totally kind of out of it. And I actually thought that when Neil walked in, that Peter was gonna punch the crap out of him.
Oh,
like
that,
I thought that was.
I think that's like next moment.
Yeah, because I really thought he was gonna hit him. Because basically, Neil steals this art, and he's trying to outsmart this other criminal, and the other criminal figures out he can't defeat Neil. So what he does is he knows that Neil actually cares about these people. So he kidnaps her, and he knows that Peter will kick his butt. If
well, not only that, but the criminal goes to Peter and tells him.
Yes, he's like, I am kidnapping your wife because Neil stole this treasure.
Well, he doesn't tell him that. He says that I know that he has this.
And right, and I'm kidnapping your wife. Hmm. Right, so he pretty much tells him that. And so, well, that's the finale. That's the cliffhanger. The summer finale. Right, so you're cliffhangered at. But the thing is,
summer finale.
Yes,
it comes back. So that's not the whole season.
Right, it comes back in January.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, knowing Neil's not gonna, Mozzie really likes her too. So I personally think they're gonna give up the treasure to save her life. That's kind of a no-brainer. But the question is, the relationship between Peter and Neil is totally gonna be screwed.
I love the fact they brought back the agent Anna Klumsky, who was the girl from My Girl.
Oh, what does she look like now as an adult?
She looks great.
Oh, she's the one who he lied to and said she was Interpol.
She's the blonde agent that he Neil.
He's not
coming. I'm only on like the fourth episode of season one. Yeah, so it's fine.
Basically, there was this list of a manifest of all the things that were in there, and not many people know about that. And so Neil posed as an Interpol agent to meet this agent.
And I have a question: do all con men pretend to be Interpol? Because the other guy did the same thing. Like, I was like, what is it with Interpol? Like,
it's too easy to check FBI.
That's true. So everyone's like, I'm Interpol. Anyway, so it was a great finale, a lot of tension. Next season.
Well, I love the reveal where she calls out Neil, but she says, you can't say anything.
Oh, right, because then she's going to get fired because she totally gave up secret information.
And I love Bo Bridges as Peter's mentor.
Oh, right. He was really good. Though now he's starting to sound more like his brother. Like, it's so weird. Like, as they both age, they sound more alike. It's so bizarre.
That doesn't bother me.
But I mean, I just said it was bizarre. Anyway, wrapping up, White Collar, thumbs up, really good.
Way up.
Burn Notice, Peter, you haven't talked in a while?
Well, I think that this season of Burn Notice it feels like they've been ever since they added Jesse in the last season, it feels like what they're doing is they're giving more and more of the characters like more of this like family unit quality. Like the mom does a lot more than she ever used to do in the first couple seasons. I love her, yeah. She's fantastic. Like even if they're bribing her with a pack of cigarettes or this episode, they're like, doesn't she have to plant a bomb? But it's a smoke bomb. Right. So it's not one that's gonna kill anybody, my biggest thing I liked about the episode, the positive was I've been missing Jesse, who you said actually has double duty because he's got another show. But I mean, I really like that character. I think he really added what was needed in the third season to really like give that show life again. And this, we don't know why I've been in the third season.
Oh, no, but Jesse showed up in fourth season.
Oh, it is fourth. Oh, so we're in fifth.
Yes,
sir. So it feels like this season we don't get a lot of Jesse. So, and it's because, like you said, you've heard that the actor actually has another show.
Right. He's on a show called The Game.
So this episode in particular, the group splits off as they usually do, and he's with Michael and the woman who actually might be a new character. I forgot her name is.
It's like Agent something.
Actually, I like her too. So I like that we got more Jesse, and I liked hanging out with them. But I gotta say, this is on the bad end. This is like the upteenth episode where Michael impersonates. He comes to the bad guys and goes, I'm this person. He's usually got some cheesy accent going on. I'm this person that you guys gotta know or whatever. And like, you're always like, if they just kill him, like, it would be over. Right. And of course they don't. I just feel, I know that Burn Notice is a formula. I totally know it's a formula. But I feel like that particular formula seems overused.
Right.
Okay, go.
I was gonna say, my feeling was, this week about halfway through the episode, I felt the urge to fast forward.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do it. I said I felt the urge. I didn't say I actually did it. But generally speaking, Burn Notice is a really fun show, really exciting. But the theme of this season is not that interesting. It's mainly
Someone killed a guy that was going to help Michael.
Right. It's variations on a burn.
Right. And it's just kind of like we've already seen this.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it's not as interesting. Jesse adds a lot to the show, but without him, it's not as fresh. So, and you're right. How many times can he lie to a bad guy and say, your boss sent me? Really? Yes. And you're just like, really? My boss sent you? I don't believe you. You know?
It's like the dog ate my homework.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like, at one point, they don't believe him. They tie him up. Right? And then they untie him. Why? Right. And so, you know, it's just, it doesn't feel like I believe some of the situations or how he gets out of some of the situations. And he's becoming more reckless. Like, he didn't ask enough questions about Fee and this friend.
Right. And who was terrible.
Right.
Gavin Rosdale's not an actor. Like, what
are we supposed to know him from?
Yeah.
That's what I asked.
Well, no,
because they promoted him as like, and Gavin, it's like,
who the heck is he?
He's the guy from the 90s band Bush.
And he had no chemistry.
Well, he's not an actor.
He's not an actor.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And I can tell he wasn't an actor.
Because they kept, why'd they put him on the show?
It's like second line is read so flat. Yeah. It's like, this guy? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
But, I mean, the thing is the fact, and they would have been better served to have a real actor who could be menacing.
Mm-hmm. But also attractive, because they're supposed to have the...
And who had chemistry tension. With...
Yeah,
with,
right.
With
right, right. And so, we're supposed to be creeped out when, like, he touches her. Not really. But I was offended on her behalf that as her boyfriend, he didn't ask a lot of questions.
No, that was the big... That's the big scene at the end.
Right.
They're like, yeah,
which...
Yeah.
That was it was interesting to put that scene at the end instead of earlier.
Right.
I will give them that.
Yeah. Because then he has this awkward, I can't really have a conversation with you because my mom's sitting across the table. Yeah.
I like the moment where she and the agent meet each other.
Oh,
Agent Pierce. It's like, so you're Agent
Pierce.
Oh,
I like that. Yeah. I did like
it's
that.
Like,
yeah.
And I like that because she's the woman who was on Community, and I like her.
But
I like her.
I like both women's reaction, though.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this as an agent of the government, but wow.
Yeah. Right.
And then she's like, so.
You're prettier than he said. And Michael is like, awkward.
So wait, because White Collar just did its halfway point, what episode was that?
Because
I'm just wondering how many more burners you have before.
It'll be coming up soon.
Yeah, we'll have a couple more.
So probably by the end of August, it's done for the...
Yeah.
Okay, and then it comes back
in
January.
And they both come back in January.
Okay. Right.
So,
Psych is coming back in October for some reason.
Yeah, Psych is doing a weird season. I'm not sure what Psych is. Because Psych used to be summer, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Because now they have so many new shows. And so what they're doing is because they have so many new shows, they're shifting.
Staggering them.
They're staggering their other shows so they have a full lineup all year.
And they're really trying to put the newer shows with established shows to get that audience to cross over.
Speaking of a USA show, let's go on to Suits.
Suits! I love this show.
This suit, if you're not watching Suits, why not?
Because I have too many shows to watch.
Entertainment
that is my answer.
Weekly agrees with us. It's on their hot list for
you. I think everyone likes the show. I'm not saying it's a bad... I'm sure it's good. I just have so many television shows. That's the...
You should seriously add this one. I mean, it's really fantastic.
It's smart.
Marcy, have you seen it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've seen
She's
bits
one
and
of those
stick-in-the-muds. I'm one of those bits and pieces.
That it's doesn't bad. Count.
Good-looking dudes in suits.
See, and I don't think they're good-looking, so sorry about that.
But anyway, this week's episode.
There is a charity, kind of like a fictional Habitat for Humanity, that has been totally ripped off. Basically, they took a real-life organization and they used like a Bernie Madoff-type thing.
Right.
Where a guy has ripped them off of all their money. And the twist is that they start the deposition and Lewis starts without
Harvey.
And... The guy that he's questioning doesn't look good and is sweating profusely and is playing with his tie and he basically has a heart attack and dies.
Right.
And of course...
And Lewis is like, I killed a man with my testimony or my cross-examination, I killed him. And it was so... They were like, you shouldn't be happy about this. And he's like, no, it'll give me a better reputation. And then they find out the guy was totally innocent and he just literally just badgered the guy to death.
Wait, someone actually
although he
died?
Somebody actually died. But the thing is, it was a pulmonary embolism, so the questioning was, obviously it may have contributed to it. But the way that played out, it was just an interesting step. I like that they really focus in on all of these characters, especially this one kind of focused on
the
Harvey Lewis thing,
right.
Where they are forced by Gina Torres to work together.
Right.
And this is her good friend. By the way, the friend who runs the fake Habitat for
Humanity. I've
seen
her before.
She should play Oprah in the forthcoming biopic.
She does look like Oprah.
She looks like a young Oprah Winfrey.
She really does. But what I really liked is Lewis, they've always pretty much shown him as the annoying bad guy foil. And they really haven't given him any development until you get to this episode.
And they show you that he's really good at... numbers and accounting and financial.
That's what he does. And he is a pit. They call him a pit bull for a reason because that's really what he is, the pit bull. But he has no class, which is Harvey's issue.
He has no coof.
that's true too. Mm-hmm. And he just like this week's up. Normally, when I call Suits, I'm like, it's when Mike Ross screws up and then Harvey comes in and saves him. That's pretty much what kind of the show has been as a formula. This week, Lewis screwed up like 5 times and just like back to back to back. Everything he did was wrong.
And Gina Torres calls him out. I mean, he basically is. Would you? Bribery? I mean,
yeah, he tried to bribe. He tried to
bribe a witness.
Yeah,
who makes Suits? Who's the producer? Is it somebody who's done? What have they done before?
The guy who did the filmmaker who did the one in Vegas, Go.
Oh, it's Doug Liman.
Doug Liman.
Well, wait, he also does that bad one with the girl spy. That's his too. So clearly, Suits is about
Suits is bad.
Covert Affairs. Affairs. Yeah, that's not so good.
But, but the guy who created the show obviously knows a lot about
lawyers,
about this world, and they keep the law.
It keeps it fresh, like because we've been in the courtroom once, like maybe twice for like 5 seconds.
But
it's not a courtroom show.
But the brilliance is that so much of what happens in the legal arena takes place
outside.
If you get into the courtroom, you've almost failed your first tier.
Right.
The job is to keep it out of the courtroom.
Right, and that's pretty much the focus, is everything that they do on this show is to get not go to court. Like, all their stuff, they're always like, we don't want to go to court, we don't want to go to court. And so it's all this research that they do, and all the man hours. And you see, like, at the big law firms, they have 20 lawyers working on that case to find information. And you think about the fact that, like, a little lawyer or whatever would have just, like, one guy trying to work on it, you know? And so that's the thing that's sort of fascinating, is you see how they pursue the law. And like you said, if you get to court, you've already failed. Like Mike Ross, he got in trouble because he ended up having to go to court, and they were like, why'd you end up in court? You F? You know, so yeah, they really don't want to go to court on that show. So it's pretty cool because you see a different side. In Mike's case. What was the
B-plot with Mike's case, it's a father versus a daughter.
Which, James Morrison, I have to throw a shout-out. I love that actor.
Who's James Morrison?
Space Above and Beyond.
He was T.C. McQueen. And I know what the T.C. stands for.
Totally cool.
Nice. That's nice.
But He's the dad who runs a company that's doing fracking, which it's funny, after that CSI episode, everybody knows it. Basically, dealing with minerals and contaminating,
contaminating groundwater,
etc. Right. And so his daughter basically is mad at him because of all the things the company has done. So she's basically,
but there's also
embezzling from the company.
She's not just mad at him; she wants his attention too.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Again,
I like the references. He was like, she's less girl next door and more girl with the dragon tattoo. So they have really good, smart references on that show.
And the relationship between the father and the daughter is quasi-parallel to Harvey's relationship with Mike, because they have this really, it's not a typical mentor-protege relationship.
No,
it's basically like, you know, okay, I'm helping you perpetrate this fraud, and I put my career and firm on the line to do this, but I'm not going to help you as much as I should because I got other stuff to do. Figure it out yourself. It's
right, like, and his I like the fact that this episode was the first time that Mike really stood up to Harvey, which I thought was just like, whoa. Like, he was like, are you disobeying an order? He was like, no, I'm doing what you told me to do, and you told me to take care of my case, and that's what I'm doing. So if you have a problem, take care of your own case. And I was like, whoa. and Harvey, I liked Harvey's reaction, was like, yeah, I totally did tell him to do that.
Well, I think Harvey's... Again, this dysfunctional relationship, Harvey's kind of proud of Mike for standing up to him. And
right.
As long as he gets the job done. If he doesn't get the job done. When he lost that case a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Woo!
Harvey was done. Well, also, Harvey bet. We don't know
and
how much
he bet.
We don't know how much he bet on Mike.
All right, maybe I should watch this.
It's really good.
But it was interesting because, once again, we find out that the daughter is a hacker. And so she finds out Mike's big secret.
Which is he didn't go to Harvard.
Which I'm kind of getting tired of that coming
but
out.
But I think they've actually fixed it.
They fixed it because she hacks into Harvard's records and has completely created a student profile for him, printed out a diploma for him.
Yeah. So now he actually, if someone says, I don't believe you went to Harvard,
he's got the diploma.
He's got the proof now.
He's got electronic proof.
Okay.
And he has an authentic diploma from Harvard.
From Harvard.
So she hooked him up. I was like, that was nice. So now, in theory, we don't... I don't see that, because for the first few episodes, that kind of came up all the time.
All the time.
And now they're kind of like, all right, well, we're done with that.
I hope they put that to rest.
Yeah, and I think it's fine. But I do still like the fact that even though Mike is brilliant, he doesn't know
a
lot.
He's not wise.
Yes. And Harvey is the wise master of...
How much of an age difference are the two main people?
Harvey, 10 to 15 years, I'd say.
Mike is supposed to be mid-20s-ish. Mid to late 20s, and Harvey's supposed to be probably
late 30s, early 40s. Yeah, so, but I like the fact that Gina Torres, who is supposed to be a little bit older than Harvey, was his mentor.
And she's hot.
Gina Torres. Right.
Right.
No,
and
but she's really looking good these
she
days.
Looks, yeah, she looks quite awesome on the show, but they have, because she mentored Harvey, she gives Harvey a lot more slack than she would necessarily give anybody else. And because Mike is Harvey's mentee...
Protege,
thank you. That's the word I was looking for. She gives Mike a little slack because she feels like he is now the next line.
But the great thing about the way that they approach her and the other women on this show is she is in charge. You never doubt she will read Harvey the Riot Act. She will read Lewis the Riot Act.
She will play them against each other.
She will read Mike the Riot Act. She will play... She is the queen. And she will do what she wants. And also, Donna, who they kind of didn't do much with earlier on, Donna is like the ultimate Girl Friday. She knows everything about everybody, and you don't mess with her.
Oh, that was right, because Lewis tried to just... He's like, I'm a lawyer. You're just a secretary. I can do anything I want.
And
she
just spews out a date.
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's
like,
really?
Only you do.
And he goes, well, I'll just leave now. He's like, you don't need to write that down or anything, right? It was all pretty good. So, yeah, thumbs up. All right, wrapping that up, let's move on to our last show that we're going to talk about, which is Torchwood episode. Thank you. Thank you for the sound effect. Episode 6, which, what was that one called?
It's called The Middleman.
Middleman. Middlemen or Middleman?
The Middleman.
Oh, okay. Which and makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Who puts a torch in Torchwood? Literally.
They set it on fire. Is it good or a bad way?
No, just with the, you know, the
modules.
Oh, okay,
I got you. All right, let's go around the room. Go for it.
I probably liked it more than the last episode, which I didn't care for.
I hated the last one.
I still felt like... It felt a little like a two-parter because so many of our characters are still stuck at the that base. Like,
you know it's
thing.
A 10-parter, right?
I know, but I feel...
If it feels like a two-parter, it's a 10-parter.
I would say it doesn't. But no, I would say it's not a 10-parter. It's a show with 10 episodes.
No, they wrote it.
It's a 10-part miniseries.
It doesn't feel that way. But I would say we meet Ernie Hudson, who's this guy who...
Thumbs up?
That's the best scene in the episode for me.
Speaking of, brother looks good.
Yeah, he does look good.
Ghostbusters was like 30 years ago.
But like that scene where Jack basically gets this other view on what, you know, may or may not be this conspiracy of... Is it FICOR?
Yeah.
The name of the guy. Like, that was pretty good. And that's like about halfway through the episode. And I was like, oh, it's pretty interesting. And I was like, I kind of like this. I just think Mekhi Phifer gets... He gets captured, and then at the same time, the blonde girl keeps being annoying in the office because she's like trying to figure out. And I'm just like, oh, come on! And then she meets the Then Mekhi meets the guy who killed his name, the doctor,
right?
And it leads to this, you know, big confrontation. And it's one of those scenes that you see so many times where, like, here's a character trusting a character that he really doesn't know. He's like, I've got this special footage right here, and I've got this wound, and hopefully you're not going to kill me. And I'm just like, oh, please, oh, come on. And of course we know that.
I'm yelling
we
at
know,
the TV,
of course, of this
headbutt him.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I mean, I think...
He was never close enough.
I'm thinking CIA agents, is this stupid? Mm-mm. Oh my God.
I would say overall, I did like the episode better than last week, and I especially like the ending, which we'll get to. But I did feel like it occurred to me that my overall thing is, I feel like this season has started with a really big idea, an idea that has so many different avenues you can go down. What if nobody died? There's so many things you can do with that. And I guess I feel like these last few, which has been really focused on
the
modules and the ovens, I personally feel like it's the kind of ground that you could cover in other stories. It doesn't necessarily feel unique to this story because obviously... With concentration camps and
the fact
you could do those stories
and
other
things. They called it a concentration
camp. Yeah, she literally, that's right. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm kind of like, you don't need that. It's not that I don't feel like it fits in the story, but I feel like, I guess I would rather see something that I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this before. And I guess I feel like this feels like something I could have seen in just another story. Okay. So, but anyways, that was my thing.
I liked it. I didn't love it. Just the characters making dumb mistakes and me wanting to yell at them. I like Jack's comment to the waiter. He's like, I love your vintage jacket.
Oh, that's right. Maybe the three of us.
Three of us. Yeah, that was three of us. Yeah.
It's a little heavy-handed. I mean, Russell Davies is actually he's going out on a limb and making a statement about healthcare policy, you know, internationally. You know, what his fears are when you have a nationalized system. And when the woman tells Gwen, you know, we are allowed to, you know, type one are dead. We are allowed to burn the dead in mass
amounts.
That's
policy.
Right.
That's
policy. And then Gwen shoots back, well, you go there and actually watch it.
And you can't call yourself
and
a doctor anymore.
And don't call yourself a doctor anymore. Right. I mean, it's
that felt very preachy.
It was. It's very didactic.
Very preachy.
It's very didactic. But you got to give him props for saying, hey, this is something he obviously feels passionately about for a reason. I just wish it was more organic to
and
the
more
story.
Subtle, yeah.
More organic, more subtle. And I'm still, Marcia kind of oversold the nature of this week's episode because I was expecting a little bit more about who the big bad is.
Yeah, me too.
Aside from
yes.
the, what's it called? The, what's the term?
The blessing. I was like, what the heck is it?
The
blessing.
The
blessing,
look,
yeah.
The look on Jack's face when the person says it, I was like, oh, does he know what that is? And he doesn't. I was like, oh.
So. What I'm looking at is that we've got all these different places a show can go. I thought meeting with the executive from the medicine company from FICOR was a big deal.
Yep.
Because here you've got somebody who says even FICOR doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yes, yes.
And he gives more information about how long this has been going
yes.
on. He knows more because he's researched more. I'm hoping he comes back again, hopefully in trouble, because he's also digging around himself. And it sounds like he hasn't stopped digging. But then I have issues where the idea of the dead and what they do with the dead and do the dead, are the dead really dead when they burn them, or are they still alive somehow? Aliens versus religious versus normal. And we're in so many different places now that I'm thinking, what happened to the fun? As much as I love Torchwood and I want to keep watching it and the next couple of episodes I've seen and I'm still having a good time with it all, but I'm thinking we're halfway through and I know nothing. There isn't even a tease of anything. And I think maybe they needed to have only 5 episodes.
This is the peril of longer form storytelling. If you look at 24, and this is starting to remind me of 24, that's not necessarily a compliment.
I can see that.
Where you're dragging things out.
Right.
That's part of my problem with this show, is that it started out, I was really enjoying it when it first got started, and now what I'm getting the feeling of is that they had a maybe 5 episode story and they're dragging it out to 10 episodes and it's just gotten tissue paper thin. And I just feel like I'm watching so much filler playing out in front of me and everything is getting so slow and I'm being parceled out information that is just, it's coming at a glacial pace and I'm not being told anything terribly interesting in a terribly great pace. I don't really know anything. Like you said, it's gotten to, we're at episode 6 now and I don't really know anything. And all I'm getting fed at this point, I've got a great new buzzword, the blessing. Episode 6. And it doesn't mean anything and it doesn't say anything. It's just this new buzzword.
Oh, well,
that
question for you. What did you think of the end?
It just pissed me off.
Oh,
because
like
it didn't feel earned. You know, you got to the ending. The first sort of, it was sort of a double ending, really, because we got the catharsis of this great big explosion.
Which was a great explosion.
On the surface, it was great. It was like this great, moment when we have this explosion, see this great big place go up in flames. And it's like, there goes your ovens, and I'm not going to take this lying down and all of that. But then you think to yourself, wait a minute, what? What led up to that? How earned was this moment? She found, wow, isn't this fantastic?
Some
this
C4 place just laying
around. All true. These explosives completely unguarded lying around in this camp.
That's true.
Which she just found in the last 5 seconds of being there. Isn't that convenient? And she, you know, she it took her like an entire day to get her father out of there. It only took 6 seconds to blow the camp.
Well, that's a little more complicated.
But then she and she keeps wandering around, you know, between countries without being picked up by anybody, and then suddenly they call her on a courtesy phone. You know, and
she answers it.
That's the thing.
Last time, last week, I was talking about how they were being hunted by an assassin who knows where they are, and yet they're still hanging out at a little Venice Beach house. Well, they're still hanging out at a little Venice Beach house.
Well, they're in a different one.
It's
now.
A
they're
different Venice Beach house.
They're in a different place. But anyway.
No, they're not. They're still in the same place.
No, they're
Take
not.
A look at it. Run it back again. It's
no,
the
they're not.
Same
they're
Venice
not.
Beach
they,
house.
They packed up all their stuff.
Yeah, because I remember them packing.
They did pack all their stuff. But anyway, my point. My turn. The one thing I wanted to say was the team not being together was that drags the show down a little bit.
Yes, it does.
And I think that the main interaction between Jack and Gwen is fantastic, and that was probably the part that I enjoyed the most at the end. I find that Rex and Esther together are fine as a team. Individually, I don't know if I want to necessarily see them.
I don't
know
if I'd say they're fine. They're okay.
They're okay. But the thing is I've been waiting for them to feel part of the Torchwood team. And they don't yet. They don't feel like...
Where you feel like the band is back together.
Right. And I don't feel like they're actually... And mainly it's because Jack has always been the father figure of the whole team. And he hasn't really accepted them as his children. You know what I mean?
Or asserted his command over them.
That's true. Well, he sort of tried, but then Rex is all like, no, I'm CIA, I'm in charge. And I think Jack is kind of like, you know, I'm too old for this crap. So he's more like letting it, he's sitting back and letting Rex fall on his face.
Which Rex is very good at.
Yes, he is. And so I think he's waiting. He's just like, instead, because I mean, he kind of had the same problem with Owen back in the day. And fighting with Owen tooth and nail didn't really work. So I think he's kind of like, all right, I'll just let this guy until he decides he needs my help.
See, that brings up an interesting point. Rex, more or less annoying than Owen?
Ooh. Less. I hated Owen.
That's a tough one
for me.
I hated Owen. I guess.
For me, they gave Owen redeeming qualities just as they killed him.
That's true. But
and
I'm
he
trying
to Walking Dead.
Yes, that's true. But I'm trying to reference like when we first season.
Oh, he's
so like,
yeah.
But Owen at least was looking at it as a team and going forward, and he didn't do the really stupid things like tell the person that has you handcuffed your entire story. I couldn't believe that I was like beating my head against the chair. Yeah, that's right.
Well, you guys talking at the same time.
Sorry.
Try it again. Go ahead. What'd you say, Allison?
I said I was just beating my head against the chair while I was watching that. Going, I can't believe he's doing this.
Well, I mean, okay. We've already hit that point several times. Let's wrap this up.
No matter what, we still want to keep watching Torchwood.
Oh,
we're still enjoying it.
Of course.
News.
You only rip apart that which you love. I just want that.
And we have spent more time talking about Torchwood than any other show.
And a news bit we forgot to cover: Starz and BBC
have made a pact
to continue original programming.
Right. Which
so
means
hopefully
what
we'll
does that
see.
Mean?
That
it
basically
means more shows,
more British shows,
more British shows, more co-productions
that will be on Starz.
Right.
BBC's had some financial issues too.
And Starz has money.
Right. So they're going to pull
it
together.
So obviously they found this worthwhile.
Right.
So really, it brought in the numbers.
Right. And it didn't do as well as Spartacus.
It's no Spartacus.
It's not doing as well as Spartacus.
Well,
but it's doing better than Camelot.
Well, then again, if they ever start showing frontal nudity, then it'll do as well as Spartacus. I'm sorry, the first time I saw that on Spartacus, I went, huh? And the second time I went, ooh. So, you know, I'm still waiting.
Well, if they
want to
have more naked Jack, I have no problem.
That I can get behind that statement. All right.
No, in front of.
All right.
We already are behind that statement.
Oh. All right, let's get out of the gutter for a moment. All right, let's wrap this up. Torchwood, totally thumbs middle?
Yeah, middle.
Middle thumbs, up and down.
One thumb up.
Okay, there we go. But we're coming back and we're going to keep watching because...
We want to know what the blessing is.
We want to and I love Jack. I don't care. I love Jack. I'm going to keep coming back.
I agree with Marcia, though. I hope we see Ernie Hudson again.
Yes. Yeah. And we missed Bill Pullman this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No Bill Pullman. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So if you guys have any questions or feedback... send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And now you can listen to us on The Point Radio at getthepointradio.com. Talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.